You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on April 9th, 2026. And this week, we're talking about the decline in church membership in the United States. Those of younger generations are less likely to be members of a church or other house of worship, even those who claim to be religious. Well, what is behind this decline, and why should this be a concern for Christians? We're going to talk about that today. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/040926. And now for our discussion this week. We're going to be looking at an article from Ryan Burge that he posted on Substack, Graphs About Religion. The first chart that he shares, which we are showing on the screen, but if you're just listening to this, we'll describe what is on here. You can also check this out in the show notes where it will be displayed there as well. But this chart shows the percentage of people in the United States who are members of a church, synagogue, mosque, or other house of worship. And it divides the people by the decade in which they were born, starting from the 1940s, going up to the 2000s. And every year, the percentage of people who were members declined, except for a slight uptick among those born from the 1990s to the 2000s. And Burge had this to say about the chart. I don't think anyone is going to be surprised to see that older folks are much more likely to be church members than younger adults. Among people born before 1950, nearly 3 in 5 say they are on the membership rolls of a church, synagogue, mosque, etc. But among folks born in the 1950s, a majority are not members of a local congregation. The numbers only decline from there. Among respondents born in the 1970s, membership rates dropped to just 38%. And then there's this really noticeable inflection point in the data. For respondents born in 1980 or later, the share who are members of a house of worship drops to 25 to 30%. There's a bit of variation between the decades, but not a whole lot. I think it's fair to say that the floor on this metric seems to be around 25% or so. Maybe the youngest adults will drop below that as they age through the life course, but it seems like the free fall has largely abated. However, any casual social scientist will look at the above results and say, of course membership drops among younger cohorts. They are a lot more likely to be non-religious, and that's correct, empirically speaking. So let me control for that reality by just excluding the non-religious and running the same analysis. So then he shares another chart that only includes those who say they are religious, which means the non-religious are not skewing the survey results. So as we look at this chart, beginning in the 1980s, the percentage of religious people who were members of a church or other house of worship fell below 50%. So these people claim to be religious. They may have even attended worship services periodically, possibly even regularly, but they were not members of a church or other house of worship. Aside from a slight increase among people born in the 1970s, every decade saw a drop in religious people who are members of a church. And here's what Burge had to say about this. These numbers are quite a bit more robust than the prior graph. Here, church membership rates stay above 50% for folks born in the 1970s or earlier. That's a noticeable uptick from the first graph, but the same general trend does seem to appear that we discussed before. Older folks are more inclined to become members of a house of worship. That's not so commonplace among younger respondents. I mean, think about this simple fact. Among religious people of any faith background born in 1980 or later, a majority are not members of a church, synagogue, mosque, etc. It definitely feels like membership has fallen out of favor for younger folks, regardless of their faith background. So what does this data show us? Well, Burge highlighted 4 lessons, and I want to focus on the first one that he listed. Young people are not too keen on joining organizations. That's even among young people who still identify as religious, which means that church membership is going to inevitably decline in the decades to come. I thought this was interesting, and I want us to talk about that here today. But before we talk about the conclusion about younger generations not being too keen on joining organizations, I want us to be reminded about what the New Testament teaches about church membership. First, the New Testament describes an expectation of church membership. We are part of a self-edifying body, as Paul described in Ephesians 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We are working together with other Christians for a common cause. We are not on our own. We're not off doing our own thing, but we are members of the same body. And for more on that point, I wrote an article titled "The Church as a Self-Edifying Body." I'll link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. But membership is expected because we are to be part of this body. And we are not to forsake our assembling together. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This implies a regular habit of meeting together with other Christians. And related to that, others should be able to count on us to assemble with them. Notice what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. "So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." This was part of Paul's instructions to them about taking the Lord's Supper. And the only way they could wait for one another is if they knew who was supposed to be there and there was an expectation for them to be present. But also on this expectation of church membership, elders in the local church need to oversee the flock among them. Peter wrote, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." In order to do this, they had to know who they were overseeing. Elders are not assigned a certain territory or a general area that they oversee, but they were responsible for a flock, certain members, a group of people, and they had to know who they were. And also, when Saul, who was later known as Paul, came to Jerusalem after his conversion, he immediately sought to join himself to the church in that city. In Acts chapter 9, it says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple." Initially, they did not accept him because they did not believe that he was a disciple. They didn't think he was actually converted. But after Barnabas vouched for him, they welcomed him into their number. So all of these things show that there is an expectation for Christians to be a member of a local church. But not only is there an expectation, there are also benefits that we derive from being members of a local church. Number one is that the local church is a place that provides encouragement for us. We already noticed in Hebrews chapter 10 that talks about not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This encouragement will help us deal with the difficulties that we will face as Christians. And also, the local church is a place that we can receive support. And this was needed not long after the church was established in the book of Acts. In chapter 4, it says, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of lands or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." So this is not just about difficulties that we might face as Christians, but also the general trials of life. When we face hardships, we can get support from our brethren. And the local church is also a place for us to be held accountable. When Paul wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica, he said, "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." When we are part of a local congregation, we have brethren who know us and can admonish us and encourage us to repent if we ever drift away from where we should be or where we ought to be doing as children of God. So there is an expectation that Christians are members of a local church, and there are benefits that we derive from being a member of a local church. So now let's return to that question that was posed by Ryan Burge in his article. Why are young people not too keen on joining organizations? Burge closed his article with this paragraph. "This does feel like another example of Robert Putnam's bowling alone thesis. The long-term trends in American civil society is in the direction of not joining stuff. That was true for the Elks, the Moose, the bowling leagues several decades ago. That same social phenomenon is hitting houses of worship now." So why are young people not joining stuff? And now, this apparently includes churches and other houses of worship. Well, as far as the social or civic organizations, some of this may be of necessity. It is harder to join the Elks or to join a bowling league when you have to work two or three jobs to make ends meet. That's just the reality for many millennials and younger. And it's not just because they're out buying $8 coffees every day, which is a common criticism from those who are primarily older. It's because the cost of housing and transportation and groceries and so much more have increased dramatically over the last several years. So this often makes working two or three jobs a necessity, which leaves no time to join a bowling league or some other organization. And some of this not joining stuff may actually be a good thing. The younger generation, millennials and younger, seem to be prioritizing spending time with family as opposed to joining some other social group, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately for many, and this data that was highlighted in the article shows this extends beyond bowling leagues or other social or civic organizations. It's also been allowed to affect their relationship with the local church, and there's a problem with that, which is this. The local church is not a social club. What does the New Testament say about the local church? Well, the local church is a place where we come together to worship God. Jesus spoke about this when he talked to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, where he said, "But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." But while it is possible to worship God individually or as families, there is an expectation that we would come together as a local church in order to worship. Paul instructed the Corinthians about what they would do when they would come together as a church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in that chapter discussed how they would observe the Lord's Supper. A couple chapters later talked about what they would do, other things they would do in their assemblies. That's what local churches do. We come together to worship God. The local church is also where we work together for the cause of Christ. Paul described the church in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 as the pillar and support of the truth. And as we already mentioned from Ephesians 4 and verse 16, every part of the body contributes to the function of the body, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, is there some social element to this? Well, of course. As we've noticed, the local church provides a place where we can receive encouragement. The local church provides a place for support when we're facing difficulties. The local church also provides a place where we can be held accountable. So yes, there is some sort of social element to this, but it's not on par with a bowling league. If you are a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're retired or if you're working three jobs. It doesn't matter if you're well off financially or you're struggling to make ends meet. You could be married or single, have children or not have any children, but you need to be a member of a local church. So in summary, as more people believe that they can be religious without placing membership with a local church, we need to follow the pattern that's found in the New Testament. Membership in a local church is important, not as a mere social club, but for our spiritual well-being and a place for us to carry out our responsibilities as disciples, both individually and collectively. So even if there's an increased hesitance in our society about joining organizations, let's not allow that to make us think that the local church is unimportant. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/040926. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch us on video, which will include also seeing the charts that we talked about, then that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that will be posted on Substack, will be linked in the show notes if you want to check that out. Also, if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.